What's up, everybody? This is Brad Gilmore, Brad Gilmore Show on LocalLiveHouston.com. We have a really good show for you today. We got Brandon Caldwell from Dana Dream in the building. But before we do that, I want to give you all a little background on myself. Brad Gilmore, I'm one-fifth of the hip-hop rock soulish band 2011 from Houston, Texas. I'm a contributor to the site of my guest today, DanaDream.com. I formerly wrote for the HipHopEffect.com, creator of the Speak Concert series, and now I'm hosting my own show here on Local Live. Those of you who know me personally and maybe are, followers of mine on Twitter or friends with me on Facebook can probably see that I recently, unfortunately, got out of a relationship, and I wanted to play a song from 2011 that kind of, get you by that. So this is actually Time Goes On from 2011 here on LocalLiveHouston.com.
And then just keep moving on. And no disrespect to what we once had, but the vice was like a drug and there was no rehab. Somehow it seemed that we would grow higher than heaven's be. But you put on the show better than that 70. I can't believe I fed into the lies you were telling me. If gullible is a crime, then I got the felony. Cause our friends say we something from a black and white picture. Then the quake came through when we went straight off the Richter. See, mama said some come just for seasons, though the bond grew stronger than adhesion. But life don't stop, so I'll write you off like a check. Then close my eyes and watch my dreams fly just like a jet. Cause time goes on and I realize I'm still young. And rest of the days I won't sit in a house I bomb. Gotta do a 360 cause my whole world spun. And though precipitation killed us outside, it's still sun.
Flies by and me and her stay connected like Verizon. Why? But I've been wondering why things we never try. But the reaches stretch far like horizon skies and try to work things out like typo. Get sad for the night, suck it up like lipo. Even when I'm wrong, I say that I'm right though. All the struggles, they were worth the fight. So, and it didn't work out in the end. She kinda let me like this and she says I'm just a friend. Start to begin, writing with the pen, living in sin. She was like poker, had the all in bet. She stole my heart like Ann Wilson, ran away like Joan Jett. She played me for a fiddle, yeah, she played me for a fool. But I move on to the next one like Jay-Z do. And the curtain falls, everybody starts clapping. So don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened.
Back on the Brad Gilmore Show. That was Time Goes On by 2011. And I want to introduce my guest today. He is the founder and pretty much the, the go-to guy for DanaDream.com, Mr. Brandon Caldwell. How you doing today, sir?
Fine, sir. And you? Fine.
I'm doing good, it's been a long couple days. I think this is going to be an interesting interview because you're normally used to being interviewed and not being the, you know, or you're used to interviewing and not being interviewed.
Excuse me. So, I mean, people trying to find out about me, this is going to be pretty weird. They don't know what the hell I'm into.
Exactly. And, you know, what's funny about it is I bet you there are a lot of rappers listening right now because, you know, you're the guy who writes about all their music. So they probably have a lot of questions to ask you. So if, you know, I'm known to getting texts from Kyle Hubbard, if you're listening, Kyle, if you think to ask Brando.
More than likely, all the rappers that probably listen to the show either love me or hate my guts or want me to review their music. So this is probably a great time to just call in and say, hey, why the fuck you don't listen to my guts?
Definitely. Well, I wanted to start with it's a simple question, and I like to ask a lot of people it. What was the first hip-hop album that made you fall in love with the genre?
The first one?
Yeah. Well, you know, before we get to that, talk about what you like about hip hop.
Okay. What do I like about hip hop?
What drew the genre?
Drew
you to the genre.
What drew me was at maybe 4 or 5 after I got introduced to wrestling. That's when I first started like riding around in the car, listening to whatever was on the radio at the time. And more than likely, we're talking 4 or 5. We're talking the Chronic and first Doggy, then the Doggy Style album.
Wow.
So, in a sense, what drew me to it was that it was just absolute chaos at first. Like, you could say whatever you really wanted, and then it'll just keep growing and growing and growing to a point where by the time I turned, I want to say 7, 8, I purchased my first cassette, which was Tupac's Me Against the World album. And this is when you bought cassettes and you tried to hide them from your mother because you bought them right next door to the liquor store. So when you said, mom, let me buy this record, you didn't tell her who the fuck Tupac was. You just said nothing about it. You said, hey, just buy this guy with this, buy this tape with this guy on the cover.
Buy this black guy.
So what in a sense was, I took it home and I listened to it. Now, I mean, this was during a time period where Tupac was in jail and going through all kinds of crazy shit. So, of course, I couldn't repeat the lyrics out loud.
Of course.
But I knew them. So, and then it just casually grew from there. Like, the entire evolution of my love for the genre has grown from being a backpacker to loving ignorant shit. Which is what, more than likely, on my plane ride next Wednesday, I want to hear nothing but ignorant music.
That's nice. I mean, would you consider right now the master of ignorant music being Lil B?
The master of ignorant music?
I think he
Bass
makes
God?
I think he makes the most ignorant music.
No.
Who you give it to?
Bass God has a refined sense of his ignorance. He knows he's being ignorant, yet he doesn't care. I had to give it to Flocka. I give it Flocka. Flocka makes the type of music that makes me want to slap my mother and then take someone, just bend them over, just have sex all over the house, and then just scream bloody murder. Flocka is the sort of chaos that makes me want to just slap a stewardess, grab a bottle, smash it over somebody's head, and just go. I would have said Tyler the Creator, but Tyler the Creator is just controversial because he's young, and everybody just likes the fact that he's young, black, and controversial. There's nothing really much more to it.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. You know, you talked about Me Against the World. I wanted to comment on something. You said you were 5 years old listening to The Chronic. You know, that was around that era. You know, Death Row was on top, I guess.
Right.
Around that era.
Right.
You know, when The Chronic dropped, I actually turned one day old. And I don't think my mom bought me the Snoop Dogg record.
No, I don't think she packaged that with your diapers, Gilmore.
I don't think that was part of the plan.
No, not
but,
at all.
To keep going, so, you know, You're a music journalist.
Right.
You write about music all the time. I want to say, how'd you get into that?
Oh, God. How did I get into this? Okay. Now, around that same time I bought Me Against the World, I wanted to be president of the United States.
Okay.
So I thought about it. I'm like, no, what? No, that's too much fucking heat. No, scale that shit back down. Then I kind of wanted to be rich, investment banker, marry a snow bunny up in Harvard, da-da-da. That wasn't going to work.
That's a dream of a lot. That's a dream of a lot.
I see a lot of snow bunnies at your shows.
Snow bunnies.
They're lovely.
Yes.
They're quite lovely.
Thank you. We love the snow bunnies at the 2011 shows.
Yes, but in a sense, it kind of dragged itself down around the time, maybe about 2000, 2001, when I just started investing heavily into various magazines like The Source, XXL, Vibe. I mean, I've always read them. I've always seen them at various places, such as my uncle's house. And I just looked, and I just kept reading, and I was just like, man, this is very interesting. Profiling other people is quite fun. So around the same time I became a notorious fucking bootlegger.
Okay.
When back in middle school, if you had a fucking CD burner, you were you could get your dick sucked by every bitch in the schoolyard.
Oh wow.
It just kind of just grew from there. And I just wound up just writing and writing and writing to the point where I was on I was on my high school newspaper, and I was the main music guy, and I was pretty much the main music guy in my school. So it just cultivated from there. And then around 2009, just on a random night after watching the Lakers game, when they were in the finals, I was like, you know what? I've been surfing blogs for the longest of times. Why not just start my own? And people looked at me like, yo, you got that, you can do this, you do that. I was like, okay, well, fine. And basically, this may answer one of your later questions, but Dana Dream started on a fucking whim. On an absolute whim inside my room that really wasn't finished completely because the hurricane fucked it up completely.
Ooh. Which was that? Was that Ike?
That was Ike. That was right. That was.
How long were you out of power? How long were you out of power for?
I was out of power for a good week.
A week?
However, I did not have a room for about 6 months. Yeah, roof caved in. Ruined about a good 20% of my sneaker collection. It ruined my bed. I slept on the couch for an extended period of time. And pretty much when I finally got my room back after all the construction and shit, I got on my laptop and I think I was checking either Two Dope Boys or Nah Right or Smoking Section at that time. And I was like, I could do this. Of course, I had no idea it was going to grow into this, what it is now, which is a freaking monster.
I mean, I do have to commend you, like, because it's funny. Two things, you know. One, most people who fall in love with hip hop, the genre or whatever, they tend to want to pick up the mic themselves, pick up a pen and write, you know, rhymes.
Right.
You want to start writing about the rhymes. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And what's funny is I found myself in an interesting place where I was, you know, I 2011 was just getting significant buzz and getting, you know, posts. You know, on blogs and this. And, like, I would read some of them, and I'd be like, this is one sentence long. Like, it says, 2011, new single, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, that's cool, I guess. And I remember, you know, reading, figuring out there were two local blogs, like, that I knew about at the time. And that was hiphopeffect.com, and that was dannydream.com.
Right.
And I always gravitated toward your site just because, like, you don't only, like, you know, post up local people's music and give them a chance to shine on a website, but you can tell that you actually listen to the record. You know, right. If you're reviewing an album, you know that you listen to it from the track 1 to track 12 or however long it is, and you literally put all your thoughts in it. And that's right. What drew me to your site. And it was funny because I literally had your site bookmarked on my iPhone, and I would check it every day. And then I remember one day I was walking into Buffalo Wild Wings with Trey Will, the other half of 2011, or other half of the MCs of 2011.
I was like, yeah, you guys are like deep.
We're five deep.
Like, you're deep. You just can't say, oh, the other half. No, that means Avery and DJ Moti, all of you, they would get pissed the fuck off
at
you.
Yeah, they would. So me and Trey walked into BW3's, you know, skip fourth period to get some wings, and I remember getting a DM from Brando,
right,
saying would you help out with the Day in a Dream site. And like you know me, I actually tried to start my own blog. You know, I thought I was cool because I got like a exclusive relationship interview with Hash Brown, right, which we did later on Day in a Dream,
right.
And you know, I thought it was really cool. So, like, what did you expect Dana Dream to get to the heights that it's reached?
Actually, no, I didn't. Basically, if the original premise of Dana Dream was for me to just post the music that I liked, and I wasn't going to say too much except make a few snarky comments here and there, talk about pop culture here and there, and then after that, I just call it a day. But once, I guess, you get invested in it and you see people not only being critical of your work, but also giving you pointers and tips. And you just kind of you just get that urge to say, okay, I need to put more into it, which is kind of why I went more and more so into the actual scene here.
Yeah.
And it basically, my writing introduced me to Hash and Hollywood Floss and John Doe and you guys and Iliad and Renzo and so many other just talents like Uzoy, the nice guys, not Uzoy, Uzi like the gun. Sorry, Uzi.
It's so many
people. It's just, and so many different artists that I felt like if some, I mean, I'm aware we had the Houston press, and I'm also aware that, you know, Shea Serrano and Rizzo do an awesome job making sure everybody gets their fair share of coverage. But on a blog sense, it's just I felt at the moment it was just me. Now that I'm in it and I'm like entrenched in it, I kind of see like you have the Fix, you have the Raw, you have Raw Republic, you have the High Society, you have all these other guys who necessarily are doing the exact same thing I'm doing, but people come to me because they think I'm going to go ahead and throw out another 600-word column on why I think this one person is dope. And I feel that rappers write verses thinking that one verse is going to get them the hell out of wherever they are and put them in, yeah, in a gated position. Writers think the same way. Writers think that they pick one particular topic, one particular person, they're going to blow up when it gets sent and gets viewed by the right people. Like, and I think I'll never forget this. I wrote an event posting for a Questlove show.
Yeah.
That was here. He was going to be DJing. He was going to be spinning. And the funny thing is, it got back to Questlove, who then retweeted it. And then next thing you know, I'm getting random mentions on Twitter and Facebook and da da da. Like, how can we be part of it? How can we be part of it? And I'm like, how the fuck do you even know me? What the hell? And then once I realized that, I'm like, holy shit, I got retweeted by Questlove. And you kind of get like your ego gets a hard on.
Yeah.
Like, and you just want everybody to come and just jerk you off because, oh my God, you got a retweet from somebody famous. But then then you're like, oh shit, I'm cool. Man, this is awesome. And then you kind of realize, like, once the high wears off, like, fuck, I need to get that again.
Yeah.
So running a blog, of course, you want to get adulation from famous people.
Yeah.
Like, you want to, like, I think yesterday the funniest shit was, like, I put up the review of Fonte's solo album, Charity Starts at Home, and I tweeted it. And I was like, okay, cool. And I just sat on it. I didn't even really was thinking about it. I thought I was going to get to Fonte. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I didn't get to Fonte. I get a text from Kyle Hubbard. Hubbard texts me like, yo, Fonte just retweeted my tweet about the review. I was like, the fuck you mean? I go up to the site and I check, and lo and behold, there's about it was originally like maybe about 12, 15 hits on that when I first put it up. It now reached 130.
Wow.
An hour. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. So I think that's what it is. Like, we as bloggers, we really believe that if we put in the work to our craft and we make sure we support not only these artists, but we do it the right way in supporting these artists, then we will grow and we'll get somewhere. Because I think as a city, we have so many different entities and so many different ideas floating around that everybody thinks they're going to make it. While I don't think everybody's going to make it, I think somebody is going to spark the person that is going to make it, regardless of what field.
I agree with that. Well, let's get into something. I want to touch on what you just said, you know, that you think someone's going to bust to make it. I want to talk about that later. But, you know, one of my favorite reviews of yours that was up on the site as a feature article for a long time was the review of Doe Beezy's Reggie Bush and Kool-Aid, right?
I
really like that review. And I want to talk about Doe Beezy here in a minute, but right now I want to get into some music. I wanted to get into Pass the Swisher by Doe Beezy, which has become kind of his like kind of classic song.
I'd have to agree. Like, if you were there at the video shoot for Pass the Swisher, I swear to God, you would have learned that song within 5 minutes.
it's a very quotable song. So right now, here in Local Live, I want to get into Doe Beezy, Pass the Swisher.
Shout out to Doe. Shout out to the Head Wreckers.
Two cups to keep the ice cold. I ride foes and just swung on three white hoes. I shine hard, but you can see me through your blindfolds. With your eyes closed from a whole nother time zone. My mind gone like I just lost it last year. $250 for my polo, which you know by cashmere. I murder the track and skip bomb. I flow crazy like Vince Young. I wake up with my cake or we never break up. No Vince Vaughn. I'm back with it, no ad living. I just eat the track like fat women in the lag chilling. Sitting on leather. My pot not a purse on, sipping on yellow. I'm getting my cheddar, chasing no skis. I'm chasing my dough till I'm breaking my knees. With ice on the watch that'll make time freeze. I'm as real as they get and you fake as IDs. I tell these hoes to hold up. Bitch, I'm about to pull up. I'm all about my bread, lettuce, and cheese like a cold cut. I swing on those who cross me, paint look glossy like a donut. With a swisher full of that Shrek, about to roll up that Fiona. Slow up, no slowing down. If you didn't know then, better know it now. That if you're whole around, you better hang it up. So many bitches on my dick, I gotta chain it up. I do the track so
dirty that I stained it up. But when they talking about the best, who they bringing up? I better make all the other nigga lame and fuck. And I came to show the game that the game itself is no bees. No bees. Okay, pass that motherfucking blunt. I'm just getting started. I ain't even high yet, nigga. Most of these niggas that say they hungry ain't doing shit that it take to eat. Just cause you might rap nice on the beat don't mean you ain't gotta be out in the streets. But a nigga like me ain't gon' preach. I'ma just show niggas I'm a straight go-getter. Only 5'6", but ain't scared of no nigga. Still got more dough than a dope dealer. On the microphone, I'm a straight gorilla. Who you know iller than a kickback killer? No flow really, and I stack that Skrilla. Folks don't call you boy the Black Mac Miller. No, I'm not a nigga, bitch. I'm that nigga with a flow so crazy would think I wrote it. And I've been a beast since birth. My first three words is bitch, I'm on it. Go tell Cody to roll the Jody. And go tell Dina when you see her, I will beat that pussy up, just name a spot for me to meet her. And I'm cleaner than a steamer on the Stanley streamer vacuum. I guess that be the reason he ho go nuts like a bag of cashews. Don't be easy, I am that dude. Body full of tattoos and his cup got me leaning like tennis shoes on a fat dude. And the day you think about going again, D-Rise will be a bad move. Cause I promise every verse I spit gonna be the shit. Like fast food, nigga. Get it? Shit like that. Never mind. And this is Reggie Bush and Kool-Aid. Yay.
Afraid to mention they gotta pay to make y'all pay attention, but not me though. The H-Town hero here to come to save my city with a flow sicker than chemo. Got your hoe looking cause she know that if you one of them people out there waiting for me to fail, you better off trying to find Nemo. I'm a boss off of my C-No, and if you talk shit you get slid like Jordan did Russell at the free throw.
Game time in my year that started fine, got on the grind and skipped the D-League and made the starting line. I'm about to do way more than shine. I'm about to blind those that was sleeping on dope. This the alarm clock and I bet you they ain't sleeping no more. And if they is, they either dumb or dope with dog food or somewhere on the corner being a bitch like the laws do. They try to box me in, but I spit that shit that made the walls move. And the day they gave me a microphone, the day they made the wrong move.
I just want to light you up.
Now I'm about to light the city up.
Light you up like a fire.
And this is Reggie Bush and Kool-Aid.
I just want to light you up. You like a fire.
It, but I bet you get respect from these niggas. When I stand next to these niggas, I see nothing but rookies next to a goat. The sick is spitting, yeah, though BZ had that strip to your throat. I don't play no games, but need that drink. I got connects to the foe. And I know this Reggie Bush and Kool-Aid, but my neck full of dro. Cause I keep some Doty in the bag protected. But even when I smoke Reggie, bet it's good like Kobe at the last second.
I stay wrecking like a nigga need a tow truck. Reggie and Dro blunts that had me high for over 4 months. Don't roll dunks, but the skunk keep me stupid high. And I'm super fly, so hold on the ride with me like do or die. In competitions, I'm really known to ever lose a tie. Bitch, I'm known to get even more to business like a suit and tie. No slit wrist, but a nigga flows suicide. Best rapper in Texas, you decide, nigga.
I just want to light you up, light you up like a fire. I just want to light you up. You like a fire.
Nigga, you ain't fat. My house is, my ounce is, my mouth ears. If you don't like that, keep bouncing, keep bouncing, keep bouncing. Nigga, you ain't fat. My kids is, my bitch is, my dick is. If you don't like it, mind your business, your business, your business. Nigga, you
every
ain't
time
fat.
I step inside the restaurant, the waiter be looking at me crazy like he paid to be afraid of me. Says he heard my name and don't wanna make a play for me. I'm looking at him foolish like stupid, why is you hating me? Think I'm overweight and it's your place to be disgracing me. Looking in my face, degrading me just like a racist bee. Even though I'm not fat, like heating off all that, it is really all fact. I was once a chubby brat, chilling with my mama, buying jeans off the Husky rack, skipping collard greens and beans for a Kit Kat. Now I'm on scene with my team spitting sick raps, and niggas wanna ask why I use the name Fat Tony, cause I ain't phony, and I ain't a phony. And if it was rad in the past, then it's still phony. So don't wonder why I won't comply with a name change. I'm the same till I die. If you ain't fat, my house is, my ounce is, my mouth is. If you don't like that, keep bouncing, keep bouncing, keep bouncing. Nigga, you ain't fat. My kids is, my bitch is, my dick is. If you don't like it, mind your business, your business, your business. Nigga, you ain't
fat. At every show, I'm approached by those asking what my name means. No, I'm not answering those things, cause it's not even mattering. Let's start focusing on my rapping. Just buy me a drink at the bar and ask me what my influences are. What's my favorite color car? What do I think of war? I rule like Bar Bar, you fool like Jar Jar. Hardy hard hard, very funny, you very dummy, and every question very crummy. I'm asking you, what do you want from me? An essay on the FAT, sonny? No, I won't expose what has been told before. I got to go, I got to roll and do real shit. Don't ask me what my name is, bitch.
Yo, Iliad, Illad. The salvation is here, people. Put your motherfucking hands up.
The world is cold. The block is hot as a stove. It's so hot.
Melodies to make us feel alive. Get your sweaters and your fleece jackets on, cause it's gonna be a cold winter this year. I give thanks to my hip-hop ears for selling Nickelback thoughts to the people. Without the fear of the hip-hop police, we say fuck the judge and the DA for putting us behind these walls that we live in. Because they tell us to turn pop and let it be known, from now until my time to stop breathing, I will never fold in the eyes of the politics of the game. Tired of everyone using hip-hop in their motherfucking name. They wash it down with your fucking gold chains and brainwash the youth in the CDs. I just wish the youth will stop and shut down the belief of super swag music and get the gold up off their teeth. So
the world is cold. The block is hot as a stove. It's so hot.
Terrorists is killing the industry, so I try to set the world free and give them the facts of reality of what's really going on behind the scenes. $40 rappers and showcases are not the dream. Cookie cutter music lies in the real truth of being seen. So I take a stand through this album of salvation for the city and the facts that lie within the EP. Take a minute and come overdose with me as we get high off of real music from a real nigga that sees bullshit with the blink of an eye. Stop the presses on how cold the world is in lies. So we torture the fake like a belly wound bleeding onto the streets, as the fake will fall and the truth will rise. The world is so cold, it's no surprise. And watch me discover all the motherfucking lies that lie within the underground and put them on blast. Cause the real truth will always last. The fake nearly, but nearly artists are in the past. So y'all niggas can keep rapping and perk your lips and kiss.
And we're back on the Brad Gilmore Show, Local Life Houston. You just heard Iliad's World is Cold from his debut album, Salvation.
Yeah, yeah. Glad to see him back. Glad to see him not going through his personal demons. Glad to see he got over them, at least.
It's good. It's good. I talked to Il on the phone last night. And actually, I want to use this time right now to make a quick announcement. Me and Iliad are partnering up. We're going to do a whole mixtape together.
Clap, 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 clap.
But right now, I want to get into a new segment here on the Brad Gilmore Show. This is actually called The Toast to the Douchebags. This is a shout-out to Kanye West. I brought some Perrier, so
he couldn't afford Perrion. I wanted Perrion, but
Caldwell.
But bloggers don't get, you know, those type of requests.
If you'll join me in a bottle of Perrier.
Yeah, indeed, I will.
What the toast to the douchebags is, I just want to talk about people within the last week who's kind of made me mad. Mm-hmm. Or just done something that's just...
Flagrant.
Just do it.
Okay.
First one I want to do, it may not piss off a lot of people, but it kind of irked me that, you know, the Two and a Half Men season premiere came on last Monday.
Right, right.
And I was angry that the opening scene was making, well, they killed Charlie Sheen's character off, which I think is disrespectful. The opening scene was at Charlie Sheen's funeral, and they made a mockery of the whole thing, you know. They had women of his past saying, oh, he gave me herpes or this and that. And then Ashton Kutcher comes in somehow and scares John Cryer's character, and John Cryer throws Charlie Sheen's urn up into the air, and ashes fly everywhere. And they later suck him up in a dustbuster.
No wonder he's getting $25 million after that lawsuit.
That's a little harsh.
That's a little disrespectful. That's almost akin to saying, I hate the new 2011 record. I threw it out of my car. It's sitting somewhere on 288, and then a homeless man pissed on it.
Yeah. I hope no one did that.
I hope not either. Though, it's a saying. So.
It's bad. Secondly, this one's a little more personal, a little more local. I don't want to call out anyone's name, but on Facebook last night, I saw someone say, if Fat Tony or Blackie ever make it to the mainstream, that person will quit anything they're doing in music.
Ooh.
So right now, I want to do a toast to the douchebags, because that's our douchebaggery of the week, because I really just don't agree with that. The first two people I met in Houston in the music scene were Fat Tony and Blackie. I have nothing but the utmost respect for both of them.
Right.
I think, hey, Blackie is an acquired taste. I know he's not for everybody, but I definitely see his appeal.
Right.
Being one of those people who used to love like the new metal kind of music, the really angry rapping, if you know what I'm saying. Like he kind of almost represents a new, you know, counterculture to the quote unquote stereotypical hip hop fan.
The funny thing about Blackie is he's so damn quiet when you're just like around meeting him in a regular setting, but when he hops on stage, he turns into a fucking wild man.
Exactly. The first Blackie show I ever attended, I was in the audience, was at the Mink. Somehow, within the first 30 seconds of his song, I ended up on stage throwing cups of water with Jeremiah Gonzalez at the crowd, and then continuing to use the Mink's scaffolding as monkey bars.
This sounds just like the one performance you had at the Mink for the Main Street Block Party.
It was similar.
Similar.
I like climbing.
Except there wasn't like a milfy-looking chick trying to fuck you at the end of the show, though.
Yeah. Well, that's at the end of every show. We're not going to get into that, though. Anyone you want to toast? You want to toast any douchebags?
I don't think everybody...
Ray J? What about Ray J?
No, I'm not. Shout out to the money team, man. Shout out to the money team. I got 7 Rolls Royces parked outside right now. I'm telling you, if you were at the Space City Beat Battle this past weekend, which was an awesome, awesome event, we had guest judges, which were Illmind, renowned producer Illmind, and Free of the Nice Guys. And then you had the 4 people on the stage, which was Born. Well, I can call everybody by the Twitter names. We had Born CEO. We had Tommy Bumps of Check Out the Outfitters. We had Lauren, who is Killer Collione's right hand lady. And you had me and Hollywood Floss, and we're basically grading every beat on the fucking Rolls Royce scale. Like, if you had, like, every. Like, there's a few beats that were, like, on 2 Rolls Royces. Now, nothing got to the point where you'd have to call your mans in them that like men that would fuck your beat in the ass because it was terrible. But needless to say, it was quite fun. But no, shout out to the money team. My one beef. I don't even think it's a beef. It's kind of like I think maybe a few weeks ago. Like, you know how you get shots on Twitter from somebody,
yeah,
and you're like, Wow, oh. that shit came out of left field.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened. But I just want to give a shout out to that particular person. You know, you're doing a great job of what you do. You may not fuck with me personally. You may not fuck with me artistically. Shout out to Kid Cudi. But pretty much, I understand your hustle. I understand your grind. The only thing I have to say about that is when someone retracts, when someone corrects themselves via a statement, i.e. artist A has a leg injury and he may miss a show, and you see that same artist the next fucking night and he's in a walking boot, you have all the right in the world to come to me in person and tell me I'm wrong, for which I will proceed to dumb your fucking ass down for just trying to be bigger than what you are, sir. So I'd like to give a shout out to you, your entire outfit. I wish you nothing but great success. I heard you're bringing Big Sean out here in December. Joy.
Shout out to Scoremore. So moving on with the show, that's the toast to the douchebags.
That is.
How was the J. Cole show?
For that one particular incident, I didn't go. But me personally, I didn't go. But another one of our esteemed colleagues at Data Dream,
Jay Howard,
Typo Critical, a.k.a. the Black Icarus, a.k.a. I don't know what Twitter handle he's going by this week, but he was there, and basically Cole performed with one leg and was the greatest one leg show I'd ever seen. Well, I'd ever heard somebody tell I'd seen. So pretty much I knew that was going to happen. I knew Cole was going to give a great show because that's Cole's nature. And as a matter of fact, his album dropped today. His album dropped today. Fonte's album dropped today. Ninth Wonder's album dropped today. Evidence's album dropped today. And I can tell you right now, before I even write the remaining two reviews, they're all fucking good. I'd buy all four of them. If I were you, listener out there, I'd take maybe some $30 out of your paycheck. Go to Best Buy. Cop Evidence's Cats and Dogs. Cop Knife Wonders the Wonder Years. Cop J. Cole's Cold World Sideline Story. And cop Fonte's Charity Starts at Home. Because you're supposed to support hip-hop, not download bootlegs off Mega Media Fire.
Or any other outlets, LimeWire. Shout out to LimeWire. Does anyone remember BearShare?
Oh, God. You remember Kazaa?
Kazaa was the site.
Yeah.
Original Napster.
That was Napster's little brother that happened to do shit. Yeah, I downloaded like a shitload of porn off Kazaa, but I'm grown now, so I can, you know. Hi, Mom. But but yeah, I downloaded a shitload of porn off Kazaa.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. Me and my dad had a conversation the other day about TV shows that we watched. And I said, you know, I like to watch Pawn Stars. I'm a history fan. I like history.
Right.
And I was like, I like to watch Pawn Stars. And my dad responded with saying, oh, I like to watch hardcore porn. But he meant to say hardcore pawn, i.e. the most awkward moment I've ever had with my father.
Oh, really? That's the most awkward moment you ever had with your father?
Well, actually, that's number two. Number one was my dad wanted to name me Boudreaux. This is a true story.
Shout out to Boudreaux of the Hive Society, by the way, who would have shared a name with our Brad Gilmore.
But yeah, he wanted to name me Boudreaux Gilmore, and I asked him with a straight face. I was like, Dad, why Boudreaux? And he looked at me, and I swear with the like most serious tone of voice, he was like, oh, me and your mother conceived you in New Orleans. That was the most awkward moment.
I don't know. I mean, you're...
I continue to put my iPod in.
Sir, you're essentially a saint.
Hey.
By and large, they could have had sex on Bourbon Street.
Okay, and now you want to make it weird for me.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was too far. I'm sorry. I almost
You dare mention the Saints when we have a Texas jersey over here. All right, Texans should have won that game.
Yeah, the Texans should have won that game when they gave up 23 points in the fourth quarter.
Hey, that's our
trademark. How's that defense working out for you, Houston?
For real.
But we shout out to the Texans. I'm glad they're doing well. They should kick the Steelers' ass this weekend. Sorry to the homeboy Chopstar Jimmy, the Chopstars, but I really think that the Texans got them this weekend.
All right. Well, anyway, moving on.
Right.
Moving on. I don't know. I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, your personal musical choice.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you what's been in my dick. All right. Like, this is a recurring theme here on the show. I like to normally I have three albums kind of just circulate in my CD player throughout the week.
Can I wager a guess on one of them?
You can wager a guess.
All right, fine. It's going to be Dope Easy's Reggie Bush and Kool-Aid.
Oh, you're wrong. Dope Easy.
You don't listen. You're not listening to RBK. What?
No, Dope Easy was there a couple weeks ago. But you know, I gotta get some fresh, not even fresh music. I'm gonna tell you what I've been listening to. I want to hear what's in your day.
Fine.
All right. I've been listening to it for about a week. Sorry, Jay. I illegally downloaded it. J. Cole's Cole World Sideline Story.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's a really good record. From beginning to end, it's a good album.
Yeah.
His interludes, his little, you know, whatever. The song Lost Ones made me like go, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, it got too real for me for a second.
The funny thing about Lost Ones is, like, I think his friend who works at Complex interviewed him. And basically, he had probably the greatest inside information ever of anybody, which is probably what I'm probably going to do with one of the guys here whenever they blow up and I have to interview them for something. that basically Lost Ones was crafted while Cole was still in college. And it was like, and the version that leaked was the early version.
Yeah.
And it's such a personal song. Like, that's one of the songs that if you're not a J. Cole fan, will probably make you a J. Cole fan, because I know so many people have gone through that exact same situation where you got an unplanned parent, you got an unplanned pregnancy, and the guy's like, I don't want it. And the girl's like, what the fuck you talking about? I'm keeping it. And another dude's on the outside looking in. It's like, damn, that's a fucked up situation.
Whoo.
But
it's a very scary situation.
It is a very scary situation. But
it's a serious issue. Even in politics, you know, today, like, you know, the pro-life, pro-choice is a very like strong issue with most voters and candidates.
Right.
You know, I mean, so like for Cole to touch on that, and even, you know, he had the perspective of the girl in the song.
Yeah.
And then for her to say, you know, what do you think you are? You God. I mean, that's a really just tough position, because he even talked about, you know, can I really bring a child into this world at the age I am? You know, I'm still in college or whatever.
Right.
You know, so I mean, that was a really heavy record. And that probably... Yeah, probably is next to the Trey Songz record, which actually is a big favorite of mine for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, and I think I put this in the review that went up last night. Basically, J. Cole is like is basically your rapper's rapper. Like, he has wordplay, he has metaphors, he has simile, and he has a knack to just command your attention. I think his one Achilles heel is that he can't craft a hit record. He can't get enough. Maybe the most easiest transitional record on that album.
Yeah.
Second would probably be Nobody's Perfect.
Yep.
Because I don't, even though Mr. Nice Watch is dope from a dubstep trying to go out there perspective, most people are going to say, oh, it just sounds like a throwaway from Watch the Throne.
Yeah, actually, I think it does. But okay, let me keep going with the segment. You know, not too many hip hop guys are a fan of this artist. But in the early embryonic stages of 2011, we actually looked to these guys' first album as kind of a direction in ways. At least I did when it came to writing and song, you know, concepts. And that's Swayze. And they came out with a new record, Island in the Sun.
Yeah, you are probably Dana Dream's biggest Swayze supporter. I'm not going to kid you on that.
Yeah, I mean, I've always liked their song. You know, because, like, if you listen, if you now knowing that I'm a fan of Swayze, and you go back and you listen to the first 2011 record, you can see some kinds
It's
of
very, yeah, I mean, there are moments where on the first 2011 record, it's easy and carefree, and you just want to just get in and out, just dribble down punchlines and... just, you know, swag rap and all sort of that. But then on the second one, it's a lot heavier. The second album is a lot heavier. Did you go through a breakup there? Wait.
No. I mean, you got to think, when we put out the first record, it was, you know, December 2010, and we've only been playing shows for about a month or two, you know, really just playing shows.
And
then
now
we went
look
through
at you.
Eight
now
months of
constant,
countless shows.
Countless touring and shit, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, you know, you run into people, like this dude we ran into in Austin named Travis, who's a complete dickhead. And then, you know, shout out to Travis, if you're listening. You're an asshole. and like, you know, you run into these guys. So, like, yeah, we kind of... And we have a couple of serious records on there, you know, like the Go Ask Alice record.
Yeah,
we talk about, you know, the girl dying from drugs, and you know that happened to us.
They almost could have turned to Go Ask Amy, but you know.
Yeah. But like, what, you know, I talked to a girl who, you know, was very heavily into drugs, and I didn't know that,
mm-hmm.
and you know she had you know thoughts of suicide, and And then, you know, really, like a week after that record came out, one of our friends from high school, you know, he's 18 years old. His name is Griff Walker. He passed away in his sleep, and he was really sad, and it was shocking. And even at 18, you know, you kind of question your own mortality sometimes, and you're like, wow, you know, it really could end tomorrow.
I think you question your mortality at any age.
Yeah.
Well, when you finally get to a point where you realize that you are a person on this earth, and you have, you know, choices to make, and you go through various situations that are either going to piss you off or make you reach a point where you may feel like it's going to be over for you one day. You kind of just feel like either you're going to make it or you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to make it doing your dream, you might as well make it doing something else that may at least satisfy you to push it and make yourself just go harder at it. But
yeah, so I mean it's definitely, yeah. I mean,
you know, a lot of people that just go through that type of shit, and you just wish the best for them.
Yeah.
But then when you hear the worst news, you're hurt. You're just crestfallen.
Yeah, it's crazy to even go through. So that's why I like guys like Schwayze, mm-hmm. who focus on the positives in life.
Yeah.
And talk about girls.
Schwayze has a record with Kendrick Lamar. It's actually damn dope.
It's actually dope. Yeah. Kendrick had a good verse. Okay. And this next record is kind of a throwback. You know, when I first started playing around Houston and, you know, really get into high school, a lot of people compared me not to another rapper or something, but they said looks wise they compared me to another artist.
And I bet you he was white.
He was white, and his name is Robin Thicke, and I get it quite frequently.
Of course, because you're tall and you happen to like chocolate women, Brad.
And I got the swoop. I got the hair swoop. You know.
Yeah, you do.
So, you know, I'm always looking for my Paula Patton. So I revisited Sex Therapy, The Experience by Robin Thicke.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not an R&B fan really at all. Like, I like a few songs. I like some old school, like, you know, Drifters and the Platters and the Temptations that I listen to all the time. But I mean, Robin Thicke to me is a really good R&B artist and kind of, you know, it's kind of like, to me, it was one of the first white guys I heard referred to as an R&B artist and not a pop artist, you know what I mean?
Right.
Who got the actual flag for it, credit for it.
Yeah.
So what's been in your deck?
Oh, my gosh. Necessarily, I'm one of the few people that actually have a tape deck.
Oh,
that
wow.
You can actually use. That's basically in my deck, it's been floating around. I've listened to so much fucking music. Good God. I have to say, I've been giving repeated listens to Tom P's Heir to the Throne EP that came out. I've given a lot of listens to Fonte's album, Cole's album, of course.
Yeah.
You know, I paid for it, Brad.
Okay. My bad, dude.
Let's see. Of course, I've listened to Watch the Throne. Like anyone else, I've only listened to the Carter Four like maybe twice.
It's hard to get through.
It's oh god, we're not even. Let's yeah. not. I've listened to D-Lo's Hood Politics 2 tape. I've listened to Hash Brown's Relationship EP. I've listened to John Dew's latest record. I've listened to Hollywood Floss's latest. I listened to Mookie Jones's Pan tape that came out last Tuesday. And it was just, I mean, it's so much. Like, once you get it, you're immediately just want to just dig in and consume. There's, like, a lot of great, there's so many tapes out.
Yeah.
That, like, I listen to. Like, I know Renzo is probably mad as hell because I've yet to review his One Sleeve
too.
At a Time. It's On My Sleeve.
On My Sleeve.
But the thing about it is that when you get so much,
It's hard to sit back
and try to dig through it and give somebody a proper take on it.
Yeah, that's very true.
I mean, the Boss Hog Outlaws, Servant Collect.
Yeah, the Servant Collect, I enjoy it, even though I'm not a huge Boss Hog Outlaws fan.
Yep.
A tape I've actually given a lot of listens to, which I forgot, was CPTP2.
Oh, Candy yes. Paint, I forgot Killer Kalyon, who is probably second to only Bun B in terms of random appearances, but he's going to rap regardless.
Yeah.
Killer actually has a show this weekend. Not this week. Thursday at House of Blues for
Thursday, yeah.
for $3.99.
And he has it with Doe. Dope Easy's gonna be on there.
God, it's a crazy list. It's Killa, it's Doe, and it's the Nice Guys.
Yeah,
and I think iPod Emma's on the ones and twos. And
so is DJ Candlestick.
And so is Candlestick. It's a Dub Frequency production. So I hear.
So it's gonna be a dope event. So actually, I want to get into a little bit of Killa Kalyan.
Right.
Where I want to play Bodies Hit the Floor. A nice Drowning Pool reference,
right?
For us old school wrestling fans too. Stephanie McMahon's bring music.
Oh my gosh! Really? That was her? I don't think it was Bodies.
Yeah.
Maybe no. That was Jericho making fun of her. It said it's not Bodies Hit the Floor. Yeah. It's Boobies Hit the Floor.
That's exactly true. So I want to get into this. It's Bodies Killa Kalyan featuring Bun B, produced by Lex Luger. So here it is. Brad Gilmore Show, Local Life, Houston.
Hey, run it. Killa, I am it. 187 when I write this shit. B-O-A, get a black bag and a toe tag, cause I'm finna good night this shit. Ignite this shit. Set it on fire. McCall like the ball. I'ma set it up high. Wet it up wide, cause I like that candy. Haters do too, so I keep clip candy. Send them to the ER, then to the mall. Put them in a box and put them in a car. Care by six, you can put them in the dirt. R.I.P., you can put them on a shirt. 223, send them through your body. Send them to the wake, they can view your body. Dressing all white, hey, looking your got it. I'm a real nigga, you know
why. Let the bodies hit the flow. I kill this shit like drowning pool. My paint so wet, sitting in that slab, I make this drowning look so cool. Keep that K for the haters that hate, cause the haters that hate wanna see me fall. Never like walking, so I quit walking. Got in that slab, you can see me crawl. Let the bodies hit the flow, I kill this shit like drowning pool. My paint so wet, sitting in that slab, I make this drowning look so cool. Keep that K for the haters that hate, cause the haters that hate wanna see me fall. Never like walking, so I quit walking. Got in that slab, you can see me crawl.
Just like an infant, sitting on inches. Mario Luigi, I keep me a princess. King of the slab, y'all niggas just princess. Getting to the money like a nigga be printed. M-O-E said nigga beat mo. Rolling up good, so I'm finna meet Tro. Keep lean on me, so I'm finna meet Joe. Headed to the bank, so I'm finna meet Joe. Can't be po, so I gotta get paid. Need a brown band just to hold my shit. Add a little mo to the door I just made. Need a rubber band just to fold my shit. That's why your hoe wanna hold my dick. No less than a bow when I pull my shit. M-O-M, yeah, I know my shit. Money on my mind, yeah, right, no shit.
Let the bodies hit the flow, I kill this shit like drowning pool. My paint so wet, sitting in that slab, I make this drowning look so cool. Keep that K for the haters that hate, cause the haters that hate wanna see me fall. Never like walking, so I quit walking. Got in that slab, you can see me crawl. Let the bodies hit the flow, I kill this shit like drowning pool. My paint so wet, sitting in that slab, I make this drowning look so cool. Keep that K for the haters that hate, cause the haters that hate wanna see me fall. Never like walking, so I quit walking. Got in that slab, you can see me crawl.
OG, everybody know me in the hood as well as the burbs. Big body slap is selling the curbs. So fresh, so clean, I'm smelling suburban. Yelling the words. UGK for life, R.I.P.P.I.M.P. Disrespect that boy and I'll fuck you off just to put it plain and simply. When you see me coming around the corner, sitting in the foreign that you never heard of. Leather seat so fresh that the guy just died of pee to want me for murder. And the wood inside that bitch brand new cause we just killed a tree. So you already know that the motherfucking EPA ain't feeling me. But I'm in the building, G. Matter of fact, I'm on the leash. And it's already understood when I step the fuck out on them streets. Tough guys start tucking their tail and all that talking seats. Cause they know them gladiators coming, so all they want is peace. You don't want it with Vita, nigga. So stop pretending. Cause Vita ride from the start of it till a fucking ending. I pull a pistol and pop it and leave you stinking on the ground. Face down, stiff, nigga, like you planking.
Hold up. Let the bodies hit the flow. I kill this shit like drowning pool. My paint so wet, sitting in that slab, I make this drowning look so cool. Keep that K for the haters that hate, cause the haters that hate wanna see me fall. Never like walking, so I quit walking. Got in that slab, you can see me crawl. Let the bodies hit the flow, I kill this shit like drowning pool. My paint so wet, sitting in that slab, I make this drowning look so cool. Keep that K for the haters that hate, cause the haters that hate wanna see me fall. Never like walking, so I quit walking. Got in that slab, you can see me crawl.
Killa Kalyan, it smoked out Luger, it Bun B, Trillo G, Big Dick Cheney, R.I.P. to the Trillo G, P.I.M.P.C. Trill niggas don't die, we get fly, get more money, you get no money, you know what the fuck this is. Run it. Run it.
It's like you want a girl when you want a girl. But when you don't want a girl, you want a girl that understands that. Too late, brother, cause you know y'all way past that. Even if you left her today, you bring your ass back.
You want the benefits and features with service, she's gon' keep you. Keep that phone charged on me, she been trying to reach you. Don't have no girls in the background, I have her on speaker. You better listen when she's speaking. She's out to train you, dog, break you in and correct your flaws. Do nice things like cook you fresh meals and wash your drawers. It's all a part of the plan for her not to lose a man when she's got a man. Damn, she said you can't hang out with that one cousin, cause all he wanna do is drink and smoke and smash something. So peep the writing on the wall. She even got you put the seat down in the stall. Control the finances, took your debit to the mall. Trying to buy it all and count you nothing. A few months in, went from bachelor to Mr. Can't do nothing. Runs your world and drives you insane. You lost all your game, goddamn, what a shame. It's like you want a girl when you want a girl. But when you don't want a girl, you want a girl that understands that. Too late, brother, cause you know y'all way past that. Even if you left her today, you bring your ass. It's like you want a girl when you want a girl. But when you don't want a girl, you want a girl that understands that. Too late, brother, cause you know y'all way past that. Even if you left her today, you bring your ass back.
I wish that I could change, I wish that I could budge. I wish that I could learn to one day let go of this grudge. I wish that all my bitterness could turn itself to love. But this is what it is, and we are what it was. I never knew that love was such a chore to keep intact. In fact, I thought that love was just the way that we react to the person, place, or thing you truly do adore. The love I have for you is like a double-sided sword. Two steps forward, three steps back. Cause anytime I disagree with her, she thinks it's an attack. Try to understand and ask her to explain, but all she ever does is play these silly little games. Of course I'm feeling pain, especially my pride. But now I recognize that a Jekyll has a Hyde. Time for me to skate and put the brakes on the shit, cause I can't take any more relationship.
It's like you want a girl when you want a girl. But when you don't want a girl, you want a girl that understands that. Too late, brother, cause you know y'all way past that. Even if you left her today, you bring your ass back.
Video hoes come and go, but the rapper remains. Many of hoes presto, but for that same fact, man, I could paint it like I'm Van Gogh. If three's a hoe down and two's the tango, one ring to do it all, girl, what's your angle? She lurking like the love below the belt where that girl would go high. She got so good since last time, it hurts to know. But every time that she come, believe I'm first to go. That bullshit, back and forth, boomerang principle. I'm not Teflon, but I put my heart forth. Expose myself to drunken shots like a dartboard. Running around the city, heavy tripping like it's parkour. But every single outpour of emotion, I go out more. I know you feel homes and you could be my Jill Jones. Plus, where we head, I pretty much feel we're still strong. She said she on to the next, but I hit her one worse. I told her I went back to the first, and that's what hurts. I said, baby, why you making this so difficult for me lately? You've been making shit so hard for me to breathe, my lady. Sometimes I wish your ass would fucking leave. I said, baby, why you making shit so difficult for me?
Reimburse those who still live in fear. See, my artistry is the part of me. And it's hard to see where I were taught to be. But those who see my pain and understand this game realize this is more than just fame. We're trying to make it, no way we've made it. You say you got it when that's taken. You ever felt this is called passion? You ever heard this real rapping mixed with some rock and a little soul? And some people in my shows packed to the dough, hands in the air, feet on the floor, trying to lead the stage, but they wanted more. Oh, you didn't know we doing impossible. I just took a mic and changed my life. Now everything I write is reaching new heights. So we're flying high, high as a kite.
Dropping jewels, always in the news, dropping number twos on your face. How that taste? So we creeped up, oh no way. Got what we want, got what we need. Got in the car, increasing speed. 1, 2, 3, now you know we don't play G-A-M-E's. Get in the room, cameras start to zoom, flowing like a flume. Turn the volume up so loud, water wall sound. Bring the roof down, then surf the crowd. Twist it like a dread, bust a couple heads, make a little bread, then go to bed. Y'all is how y'all ain't. What we is, I'm most fame. Who am I, what's my name? First name Brad, last name James. Living like kings, doing big things. Birds start to end, dollars start to sing. Birds flying high, look at the sky. Living life high till I die.
Birds fly.
Taken cause she's told to change by the world. And it's a shame how the brain can tell the soul to change. All she saw was plain Jane, so she had to change her frame. Now her name is known, the girl that you describe in songs, clubs at nights and Facebook lights, the life that every girl would want. But it's funny the confusion from an outer illusion. Never felt true love, so took drugs and lust as a substitution. But happiness can't be defined by a line of coke, so her inner thoughts are poured out in a diary she wrote. And in a couple notes she spoke about the life she lived, and for the chance of fame her body she decided to give. Told herself she had to keep going, running and running, telling herself to find a man, but life's no pretty woman. She starts to realize the girl that she is becoming, tired of hearing sexy and just want someone to call her stunning or gorgeous or beautiful on one of those dark nights when she's at home all alone, not caught up in all the hype. But instead all she has a pen, so she decides to write, drifting into dark thoughts, never could find the light. So life changes lanes and all she seems to find is pain. Too deep into her life to change, she had nothing to gain. Her soul was taken by the world, no more to give. Pain pills and a lifeless girl, Alice chooses not to live.
Just take it easy, take it slow.
My ex
girl, a sex girl. Def not the best girl. The type to go to parties, get messed up and show her breasts, girl. Look at how you dress, girl, in all these skimpy clothes. Popping bottles, sporting vials, acting like a hoe. I met her at a show, or some event that we was at. Powder on her nose, couldn't believe that she was into that. But I never deal with that, thought it'd be fine. Waste time, break time, sunshine, she on my mind. So I went to her house to see if she was lonely. Open door foaming from the mouth, she had an OD. Looks like the culprit was the Sprite and the codeine. And a couple pills, I could see the bottles opening. A couple light beers, just to fight tears. Pop a couple pills to see if she could feel. Then I called her mom and said I'm sad to say Hollison has wasted away, cause today she passed away.
A moment to shine can change how one is defined. Living life on a path of darkness, no longer caring about the true thoughts of one mind. She escapes into a pit of undermining outer beauty just to fulfill the happiness of others. No longer content with acting out the role. Only wanted someone to love and someone to love and someone to love and someone to love and someone to love.
Just take it easy. Take it slow.
And we're back here on the Brad Gilmore Show, LocalLiveHouston.com. Got Brandon Conwell, otherwise known as Brando, in the building.
Thank you.
You enjoying your time here, sir?
I'm loving it. I get to just sit back and talk shit. I mean, basically, this is what a pimp would love to do. So, I mean, every pimp just likes to sit back and just talk shit and won't let his bitches go get his money. So, pretty much, this is love right here. I think I gave so many damn shout outs to so many different projects that came out that I still might have a few lists, just a longer list. But to everybody in the city that has ever been featured on Day in the Dream or I've ever met you in person, I'd like to thank you specifically for making me go harder and try to at least give people who may not know anything about you a clear perspective.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
You really went into that. But right now I want to get into some current events. I mean, not current events, upcoming events here in the city of Houston.
Right.
Local hip-hop scene. You know, we have the Turning Heads Blank Canvas. Shout out to Purple Bastard. I haven't been to one in a while, actually.
I've been to a few. They're always dope.
Always good. So this is happening Thursday, October the 6th at 9 p.m. at the Mink Back Room, as always.
As always.
It's sponsored.
I won't be here, sadly, but yeah.
Sponsored by Vitamin Water. We'll get into that in a second. We got New Swag Alliance, G Squared, Cedric Dewan, and Ace T. Always DJ JC on the ones and twos. Scoremore presents Chip the Ripper live in Houston. That's October 20th, 2011. Tickets can go. You can get your tickets at chiphouston.eventbrite.com. Also Thursday, Creme de la Creme at the Bronze Peacock Room at House of Blues. You got Killer Callion, Dobeezy, who's going to be selling his Two Cups to Keep the Eyes Closed shirts, which I'm going to get. By the way, Doe, if you're listening,
I think I may get one for my gal. I don't know yet. But
I gotta get one.
But if I get one for my gal, then everybody's gonna think, oh, so your gal sleeping with Dobie? He's like,
no. He just swung on three white.
He just swung on three white. Exactly. He can't take my gal if he just swung on three white hoes.
That doesn't work. And that's at the House of Blues at 9 p.m. You know, if any coming up.
Yeah, tonight is actually Tab Tuesday at Candy Lounge, 3030 Travis.
Are you going to be up there?
Possibly. I heard Iceman Chamberlain's performing. I heard Culture Rebels doing something there tonight. So soon with the Cool Network. I have to give a big shout out to Cody P, Bromeister, Chanel, Dina Dean, every lovely lady that comes through Tab because, let's see. Every time they put on an event, it's always something different. Like, one week you may get nothing but bloggers, writers, and artists. Another week you may get somebody dropping off new music. You may get a special appearance from J. Cole. You may get a special appearance from Killer Callion. You never know what to expect with Tab. You can always, but you, what you can always expect is having a good time. Houston Trends always there. Cecilia Smith, one of their great writers.
Elioso is always the guy with the camera. Be on the lookout for him. And matter of fact, Houston Trend just had a very great event this past Friday with Pharrell, with Cream. And, of course, Dana Dream was invited, but, you know, due to scheduling conflicts, not all of us could make it. But I'd like to shout out everybody who did, including my sister Andrea Brown, who was there and had so much fucking fun. I love you, sis. Mwah. Also, my other sister, Jay Bully, she's putting out an event. I think it's on October the 1st. It's called Casino. I forget exactly where it's going to be, but you must check out the flyer when it finally goes up on Dana Dream. And also, I mean, everybody knows Watch the Throne is coming in. This is coming December the 5th. You have Mac Miller coming back here in November. You have the Smokers Club with Big Crit, Smoke Dizza, Method Man in November. You have Big Sean coming out December the 4th at Warehouse Live. It's so much going on. So if you happen to miss out on one of these events, either you're not cool or you're doing something better in your life to make some money and then probably stunt on us whenever you happen to have something. By the way, I'm going to announce this right now, but Dana Dream is in the process of putting together its own little showcase. And I don't even want to call it a showcase. It's going to be something more on the lines of, we're going to take over one particular venue. A bunch of people are going to come in. They're going to perform. They're going to talk their shit. And then they're going to bounce. It's just going to be just rotating in and out. It's going to work like a mixtape. It's going to work as somebody's going to come in, do their little song, and bounce. They're going to meet up with people, chill, and that'd be that. Because it's basically, I think the working title we have for it is Up Top Famous. And we believe that Dana Dream is, although we have contemporaries in the scene, we believe we're just a little bit better. And that's not me just being a cocky motherfucker, even though at times I'm short as hell, so I can be a cocky motherfucker. But I believe what we do for this, what we do for the city may not be as recognized as some, but we try our damnedest to be recognized as the go-to spot in the city. No bar none.
And there you go. There you have it. Nice. I mean, we went from upcoming events to you know. Anyway, there's a segment we have on the show. I've been lucky actually to have it, you know, the last couple times. Not everyone is a professional wrestling fan such as you or Nasty Neek or Kyle Hubbard, but I have a segment.
I don't think anybody's a bigger wrestling fan than me, though.
Oh, okay. Kyle, if you're listening, this is called the To Be the Man segment that Kyle is the current champion on. I'm going to ask you 8 trivia questions,
right,
about professional wrestling, primarily the WWE/F. And you have to get at least 7 out of 8 correct to be the Brad Gilmore Show to be the man champion. Are you ready for this challenge?
Only need 8? Only need 7. All right, fine. Go. Let's go.
All right, here we go.
All right.
In the Invasion era, who respectively owned WCW and ECW?
Shane McMahon owned WCW. Stephanie McMahon owned ECW.
Correct. All right. How many times has The Undertaker been defeated in a Buried Alive match?
Ooh, that's a good one. Let's see. He's lost to Kane. He's lost to Vince McMahon. And he's lost to somebody else. I don't think he's ever won. He's beat Mark Henry in a Buried Alive match. So that would be, I would say, a good, let's see, 3? Would it be 3 times?
3 is correct. He actually, this is actually who he lost against. He lost against Mr. McMahon. Mankind.
Ah, yes, in the very first Buried Alive match.
And
okay.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, actually, not Kane. Kane came and buried Undertaker.
That was on pure fucking technicality.
All right, but anyway, still 3. You still got it, though. I wasn't asking for specifics. You got 3.
All right.
Road Dogg Jesse James is the son of what 2011 WWE Hall of Famer?
Jesse James, let's see.
I think I got you on this one.
You might have me because I didn't pay too much attention to the Hall of Fame. I think who got inducted. Wasn't Bullet Bob Armstrong, was it?
Bullet Bob Armstrong is correct. All right. Here you go. You're 3 for 3.
Yep.
Who was the first?
Swag me out.
Who was the first WWE Hardcore Champion?
The first one? Mankind, of course. Because Vince crushed up an old WWE. The Ween Eagle WWE and just gave it to him. So that's 4. Let's go.
All right. You're actually a little better at this than I remember. Than I thought. Who has won the most Royal Rumbles, and how many have they won?
Most? It would have to be Stone Cold Steve Austin with 3. Second on the list would be Shawn Michaels with 2.
Correct. Correct. All right. So what are you? You're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for 5.
About 1,000, baby.
This is the tiebreaker.
Okay.
All right. Who won the Hardcore Battle Royal at WrestleMania 2000?
The Hardcore Battle Royal? It's 15. It was 15 minutes.
Yes.
Raven went into that as a was no. Raven went. Wait. Was there really a Hardcore Battle Royal?
Yeah, it was 15-minute time limit.
Oh, okay. Was it Crash Holly? Did Crash Holly get through that? No,
incorrect.
Get that.
I'm sorry.
Crash Holly didn't get through that. I bet you he still works on the roster though.
He doesn't.
He's off the roster. Ooh, okay. I'm going to just go on a limb and say Taz.
Incorrect. It was Hardcore Holly. Won in the last 5 seconds.
Oh, you're right.
By smashing Crash in the head with JR's candy jar.
What a fucking candy jar.
Here you go. You're 5 for 6.
5 for 6. I'm still... Okay.
You have to get this to tie. Who was the guest referee at WrestleMania 13... In the submission match between Stone Cold Steve Austin and Bret Hart?
Ken Shamrock.
All right, you're tied. Here it goes. This is the question. If you get this, you win.
If I get it, I win? All right.
If you don't get it, we're going to go into a bonus question, which you can still beat Kyle Hubbard.
He's going to be so mad.
What was Chris Benoit's last scheduled pay-per-view before his death?
Night of Champions.
The first one in Houston. Correct. So
why do I know that? Because I was there.
I was there too.
I was there. Why? And everybody was like, "We want Benoit." Clap, clap, yeah. clap.
That was really awkward.
Yeah. Here's even more awkward.
Who replaced him on the card?
Who the fuck did? You just want to just toss that on me? I know it was the ECW title match. Was it? No, it couldn't have been Punk.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't Punk. It was somebody on the brand. Facing, because I know Morrison was up for the Morrison. It was Morrison or somebody. I forget who.
Morrison replaced Benoit. I don't know who was the other guy.
Okay. All right.
Anyway,
one more. Just for shits and giggles. Go ahead.
You want to get? We want the bonus question.
Just
I was going
to give it to me, man. It's not going to count. But I already got the belt.
Name every single competitor the Undertaker has defeated
at WrestleMania.
At WrestleMania.
Let's go, baby. Let's go. All right. We're going to start off. Let's see.
Let me pull up the list real quick.
You pull up the list? Okay. We got Jake Roberts. We got Snuka.
Hold up.
Oh, man. Come on. You got to be ready for me, baby.
I'm trying. Here we go. All right. Go.
All right. You got Jake Roberts. You got Jimmy Snuka.
2.
You have, you have John Gonzalez.
3.
Undertaker wasn't at WrestleMania 10. You have Diesel at WrestleMania 11.
Yes.
You have...
WrestleMania 12.
WrestleMania 12. WrestleMania 11 was King Kong Bundy.
Yes.
WrestleMania 13 was Sid Vicious. 14, Kane. 15, Big Boss Man. Taker was not at 16. Taker was at 17. He beat Triple H. Taker was at 18. He beat Ric Flair. 19, he faced A-Train and Big Show. We were supposed to team up with Nathan Jones, but he couldn't. 20, it was Kane. 21... Who did Undertaker? 21 was... I'll give you back 21 in a second. All 22 right. was Mark Henry, because that was in Chicago. 23 was Batista.
Yeah.
24 was Edge. 25, Michaels. 26, Michaels. 27, Trips. 2001, he faced Triple H again. I just realized that again. Mm-hmm. So, we're talking WrestleMania 21.
Just to show off your knowledge, who did he face?
Just to show off my skills. 21 Undertaker match. God dang it. I know it's somebody that's not even... Orton. Randy Orton.
Correct. Wow. You took it with ease on that one. I was actually really surprised. I didn't even know that. That's why I had to look it up. Wow, that's crazy. Well, congratulations, Mr. Caldwell.
Thank you. And now... Nobody except for my girlfriend is going to love me because I'm that much of a fucking geek when it comes to wrestling.
Well, let's after this commercial break, I want to get into some more music. What song we have up queued up next? We actually have Hash Browns Forget Me Not from Relationship. I want to get into that, and afterwards we'll talk some more wrestling. So here it is, Hash Browns Forget Me Not.
More music, more bitches, yes.
Yes, here it goes.
Begin right where it ends. No longer lover, maybe still friends. Cause of what I done, cause of my mistakes. Can't be replaced. Tears on your face, hurt in your voice. Due to my choice, didn't feel right. I was all wrong. Clutching your palms, trying to make you calm. Yeah, I dropped the ball, I regret it all. All my fault, cheat, never won. Selfish, young and dumb, wind from your lungs. You deserve better. Never have I ever known a person that would still want me. After that dark chapter, hard I was after. Now that I'm lacking, chose better action. Should have been a man, not a little boy. Trying to fill this void, gotta hear your voice.
And said some things. Forgive me now, forgive me now, forgive me now. I've done some things and said some things. Forgive me now, forgive me now, forgive me now.
Dealing with forgiveness is a difficult thing. You know, somebody did something to you or you did something to someone else. And the only way you can get past that point is if the one person grants the other forgiveness. You know, nobody's asking you to forget. You should never forget. Never. But if it's real, you should be able to forgive. You know what I'm saying?
And said some things. Forgive me now, forgive me now, forgive me now. I've done some things and said some things. Forgive me now, forgive me now, forgive me now.
So she ain't talking about fun when she say that I'm bold, motherfucker. You can bet, bet. I'm the teacher, bad, bad, bad. You can bad, bad. I'm the teacher, bad, bad, bad. You can bad, bad. I'm the teacher, bad. I'm the teacher, bad. I'm the teacher, bad, bad, bad. You can bad, bad. I'm the teacher, bad, bad, bad. You can bad, bad. I'm the teacher, bad, bad, bad. You can bad, bad. I'm the teacher, bad. I'm the teacher, bad. I'm the teacher, bad, bad, bad. You can bad. I'm the teacher's pet. After school food, I get tutored on sex. She got hooters on deck, and my ruler gets blessed by her breath. Yes, and I pass every test. After all the kids left, I smashed on the desk, bent her over, and exploded all over her chest. Her sex be the best, cause she experienced the principal's fear, yes. But we ain't giving a fuck, she be thicker than a bankroll. Weight cold, 30 years old, like a pro. She gets kinkier than a freak show. Had me blowing my load on the commode, rubbing my nodes with her nose. I've been told niggas get chose, but I didn't know that she could be so bold. Now I'm in detention, fuck no. You can bet, bet, I'm the teacher, bet, bet, bet. You can bet, bet, I'm the teacher, bet, bet, bet. You can bet, bet, I'm the teacher, bet. I'm the teacher, bet. I'm the teacher, bet, bet, bet. You can bet, bet, I'm the teacher, bet, bet, bet. You can bet, bet, I'm the teacher, bet, bet, bet. You can bet, bet, I'm the teacher. I'm the teacher.
While y'all was sleeping on the bleachers, I was creeping with the teacher. Had her knickers around the sneaker, got my dick in it, put it deeper. Charles Dickens, I didn't read it, it was a sign, I just declined. Bent her over, slapped her behind. She was 40, but she was fine. Poured some wine out the thermos, wrote her note, not in cursive. It was perverse as I was in nervous. Getting attention, she writing my service, writing her office like Ricky Gervais. Some dirt jerks try to perturb us when I pull out my fucking ruler and try to serve them.
You can bet, bet, I'm the teacher, bet, bet, bet. You can bet, bet, I'm the teacher, bet, bet. You can bet, bet, I'm the teacher, bet. I'm the teacher, bet. I'm the teacher, bet, bet, bet. You can bet, bet, I'm the teacher, bet, bet, bet. You can bet, bet, I'm the teacher, bet, bet, bet. You can bet, bet, I'm the teacher, bet. I'm the teacher, bet. I'm the teacher, bet, bet, bet.
Cannot comprehend. money over women, yeah. Half the countless hours and the days that I wanted you. And all the things that you said that you was gonna do. It was all a front, sorry if I'm being blunt. But you left it in the air like the smoke from a blunt. But I need to move on and let the past be the past. It's hard to love the next when you still love your last. But let's make up, girl, forget last night. Say I won't, but I fall for your sight. Cause this ain't right, and baby, this ain't nice. I'm attracted like a magnet or a moth to a light. See the solo flight, that's what I'm bored. And I believe I could fly, Space Jam, Mike Jordan.
Shining from grinding, hustler. If you're pine, I'm selling. My pockets swelling, I'm stuffing them. It's crunch time. When it's lunchtime, I'm in the lunch line. Front line with a dime, bitch. Fine bitch looking diamond from the A-time. Gorilla, yeah, I got the monkey bars like a playground. I spit it like a K-round. Haters hating, so I'm waiting strapped with the K-round. And best believe she fucking and sucking with killer K-round. Them slams got her popping, she watching me like a Samsung. She, you better recognize like the song Samsung. Sneed, I'm on this good Cali weed. Inhale, exhale, could smoke when I breathe. No less than a super bad bitch when I breathe. Cause killer killing shit like breed. Hook, please. At ease, salute me, nigga. Dress to kill like the sniper trying to shoot me, nigga. Can't find me, then I must be where the loot be, nigga. Life's a bitch, I'm trying to get her out of two-piece, nigga. Realest nigga till they box me up and suit me, nigga. The devil's a lie, we'll ask some who the truth, me, nigga. Killer, over-exaggerated, fake-ass niggas. Y'all just a bunch of Betty Crocker cake-ass niggas. At ease, salute me, nigga. Dress to kill like the sniper trying to shoot me, nigga. Can't find me, then I must be where the loot be, nigga. Life's a bitch, I'm trying to get her out of two-piece, nigga. Realest nigga till they box me up and suit me, nigga. The devil's a lie, we'll ask some who the truth me, nigga. Killer. I say I run it cause I run it like a treadmill. The game I'm running circles round lanes like my legs wheels. Don't work at Subway, but I can tell you how that bread feel. Baking niggas taking eyes, show you how that lead feel. You can get a bullet, no drink, with a book with no pain. Killing no saint, get saluted like a soldier, hand to hand with no rank. Go bank, mine on a dime till it go blank. Where my head at? Must be in your bitch top going. Where my head at? I'm about to go hell. Where my bread at? Toes cold for niggas looking at me like bacon. Bacon good, sipping tea, tipping phones, trunk waking, breaking bars out like my homeboy Young Sam. I'm breaking bars out, running red lights, trunk pop, breaking bars out. Slab rider, red paint, that's a bad bitch. Haters looking at me mad, that's some sad shit. Butter recline, looking good, I'm on classics. No credit card, I pack plastic. Blocker! At ease, salute me, nigga. Dress to kill like the sniper trying to shoot me, nigga. Can't find me, then I must be where the loot be, nigga. Like some bitch, I'm trying to get her out of two-piece, nigga.
Team running with it, till they box
me up and suit me, nigga. The devil's a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen,
who the truth me, nigga.
Dope easy.
At ease, salute me or shoot me. I'm in the zone like a 2-3 trying to get with a loopy. I'm so authentic, no Snoopy. And my flow so retarded, I got other artists calling a bargain trying to recruit me. Real shit, no dookie like these other rappers rapping lies. Put me in any group that I be Michael with the Jackson 5. I stack and grind, I stay fresher than a baby white. Went from mean shoulders, turning them down if they don't pay me right. The one they hate the light, cause when niggas shining, I take the light. Jump in the booth and break the mic like James McKee's break a bike. Ride from day to night, arms swollen. one of them when I shake the Sprite. Now my cup tasting like mud. Big swishes, bright bud. About to light the city up like a Christmas tree light plug. Smoke weed in these nightclubs like it's legal. This new nigga coming to jack the city like Nino. Keep a cake, no Reno, flow sick, no chemo. And I keep them tools on me like I work at Home Depot, motherfucker. No bees.
Dressed to kill like the sniper trying to shoot me, nigga. Can't find me, then I must be where the loot be, nigga. Life's a bitch, I'm trying to get her out of two-piece, nigga. Realest nigga till they box me up and suit me, nigga.
And here we are back on the Brad Gilmore Show, LocalLiveHouston.com. Once again, I got Brandon Caldwell of DanaDream.com in the building for us.
With the champ. No, re-recognize me as the champ.
Oh, the champ. Yeah, I know Kyle Hubbard's not the happiest camper right now.
Nah, he wants a rematch, but I might do him like Floyd did Victor Ortiz. I might just say no.
Yeah, you have that right.
I have that right. But you know what? Nah, I'm a good sport. If Kyle wants my belt, he can meet me somewhere in some form or fashion, and we can sell this out like men.
And well, you know, you want to talk about old school wrestling real quick?
Oh gosh, you mean the. Oh, geez.
Monday Night Wars, Attitude Era?
Attitude. No, we can even go further back because, I mean, I noticed on Dana Dream you've been running the Match of the Day series. Yes. And I kind of had like, you know, since basically all of us on the staff, which is me, you, T. Piper, and Brad Howard, basically we're all wrestling heads, which is strange. But
very much so.
Basically, if we were to come up with a list of our favorite matches, in the same way we broke down the list of our favorite songs of the year so far, pretty certain my list is going to include something from Flair, Steamboat in the 80s.
I was going to say Steamboat, Macho Man.
Oh, well, I was just about to say that. Steamboat, yeah. Savage from WrestleMania 3. WrestleMania 7 with Savage and the Ultimate Warrior in the retirement match.
WrestleMania 17, Austin, Rock.
That's foregone conclusion. That was automatically on there. 25, Taker, Michaels, that's on there.
Yeah.
The first ladder match. It's so much. I mean, I've been dealing with wrestling since I was 3, when my grandfather introduced me, and I know I'm gonna catch a bunch of flack over this, and I really don't care. But I was 3 at the time, and I marked out for Hulk Hogan. Like, I had a Hulk Hogan wrestling buddy. I had a fake WWF championship belt. I had a Hulk Hogan bandana. I was so Hulk Hogan'd that. Whenever Hulk Hogan used to get beat up, and this is me about 6'7", I'm like, don't hurt Hulk Hogan! Don't hurt Hulk Hogan! And my dad looked at me like, you realize this isn't real, right? And my mom was like, shh, just let him go, just let him go. So when I got older and I got kind of hip to wrestling in general and how much it's just as much as wrestling as, I mean, not wrestling, wrestling is wrestling. Ugh. Wrestling is to rap and vice versa. It just made more sense. And I know, like, a bunch of people started coming back to watching wrestling because The Rock came back earlier this year. But I mean, there's so many wrestling heads within the hip hop community. Like, yeah. There's David D of the Smoking Section. There's a Kaz of the Source. There's Emilio Sparks. It's so many of us. You think like, oh, just because we talk about rap, that's all we talk about. We have rap conversations. No, we have. We have rap conversations. Duh. We have general music conversations. We have conversations about life, wrestling, sports. I mean, I kind of would liken Dana Dream to like a third family, besides my family, my media source with my my friends, who are also wrestling heads, and us. It's crazy, really.
Yeah.
I guess it's once you get a love and a passion for something, even if it's weird and, you know, you should be like kicked out of a room for liking it. You're not going to care, because the same people that may go to a Little B concert may do the cooking dance at a Raw event one night. You just would never know. I mean, I could chef up right now if I wanted to, but I'm on the radio with you.
Yeah. I want to talk about this more on wrestling. WCW, WWE. Back in the day, like Attitude Era, Monday Night War.
All right. Here's how this started. It was originally WWF. Then I kind of gradually went towards WCW, and the only times I did catch up on WWF was whenever Raw was on, or whenever a major pay per view came up, like, you know, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, etc.
I hate to interrupt you. I just got a text from Iliad.
Uh huh. Wow. Ultimate Warrior?
I think he's an Ultimate Warrior fan.
I think he is an Ultimate Warrior, but I think if he wants to, like, try to... I'll tell Iliad this. Tell Iliad to decipher one Ultimate Warrior interview. Tell him to decipher one.
The WrestleMania 9 one.
No, there's no possible way. Oh, my God. This man talked about nosedive and plane crashes and...
Look.
This he had a comic book, for Christ's sakes, that was so indecipherable that I burned it. It was terrible.
That's true.
It was terrible.
I never got to read the Warrior comic.
Matter of fact, I'm putting it like this. In terms of wrestlers that couldn't wrestle but you liked them, the Ultimate Warrior is on that list. Ultimate Warrior could fuck you up because he did not know how to really wrestle.
That's true.
Batista may be two on that list.
Ooh, low blow.
Dave Batista. I'm sorry. How many people got injured when Batista was in the ring?
That's very true. What happened to him?
I heard he was trying to do MMA. That's all I've heard.
You know, Lesnar does good at MMA.
Yeah, Lesnar does good at MMA, but Lesnar is not John Jones in MMA. John Jones is a freak of nature.
Did you catch UFC 101?
No, I didn't catch it because I was at the B-Battle.
Oh, I was at Hooters.
Oh, you're at Hooters. Oh, so you're surrounded by titties.
Yeah. Well, I have a friend who works there.
So you're telling me you have a friend that happens to have Hooters, aka very large voluptuous breast. So you're smashing, right?
No, bro, this is live on air.
We'll talk
later, bro.
Oh, I hit a nerve. Okay, I hit a nerve. All right, swag you out, young Gilmore. Swag you out.
Anyway, back on the conversation. Uh-huh. NWO DX.
I can't say a tie. I can't have tie.
No.
Okay. I'd have to go DX. The original DX, which is Michaels and Triple H.
Well, which is Michaels, Triple H, China, and Rick Rude.
Yeah, but still, I'm only going with the two chief members there.
I agree.
I'm only going with Trips and Shawn. The NWO was revolutionary, but I mean, after they kind of split and they became like the little United Nations, they had a NWO Latino and a NWO the Wolf Pack and Hollywood. It was like
NWO Silver back, you know, NWO 2000.
Oh my gosh, it kind of diluted everything that I loved about the NWO.
Like, it was cool at first.
Right.
It was like the three of them, and then maybe when the Giant came in and Six.
Right.
And the guy who used to be, what's his name's ring valet? Ted DiBiase.
Yeah.
Virgil. Whatever he went by.
Vincent is what he went by.
Vincent?
Yeah, he went by Vincent.
What a great name. But, you know, okay, well, let's get off wrestling. I want to talk about the scene more. There's a question I'd like to ask everybody.
Okay.
Who's number one in Houston?
Who's numero uno?
Yeah, you can go on status, you can go on skill.
Who run the scene? Okay, who run the scene? the scene is very heavy. It's very heavy in the fact that you have maybe a good 10 or so people who are all vying for a particular spot. I'd have to, if we're turning running in terms of just a clear movement that I can just see growing with each particular performance date, da da da. It's Doe. It's Doe Beezy. Because I've seen Doe in so many different venues and so many different performance styles. It's absolutely crazy to see him on tour with Dom Kennedy through Texas.
That was a cool video.
It really was. Shout out to BLB who directed it. In terms of skill. If we talking skill, are we talking on stage, like I can command a crowd?
Rapping ability.
Type skill? Oh, so you mean rapping as rappers?
Yeah.
I have to say, he may be a dark horse. Well, these two may be dark horses, but O-N-E, he's a rapping ass rapper. He may be the only person I know in Houston that drops a fucking Rob Blagojevich punchline in the middle of a verse. Hoodstar Chance, even though when you look at Hoodstar Chance, you immediately think, oh, he's all swag. No, Hoodstar Chance will literally tell you one of his favorite rappers is Big L, and he has punchlines for days. When he surprised everybody at that Red Bull battle, that's when you kind of realize, like, oh, wait, he's a little bit more than what you see. Doe, from a technical standpoint, is just bananas. Like, those punchlines mix both the sort of wit you'd find in like a Red Fox album with the sort of wit you hear from like just snapping a dozen with your boys. It's just, it's worth it. D-Lo I know you may get this a lot. He sounds a bit like Jay, but when he's on stage, immediately take the headliner, he would immediately just take that spot right from him. You'll never be able to guess it. Because he did it to Nipsey Hussle. I know I like Nipsey Hussle. I like it. And this is a whole side note. I like the homie Express out of West. He did a freestyle over a Nipsey Hussle beat that I just completely love off his Out for the Classics tape. But if it's not D-Lo and it's not Doe, I think Tony has a stage presence. Tony has a definite stage presence to where he could tell you buy his shit. And the funny thing about buy his shit is that there's no audio version of it. It's just you know, the only song he performs is live. And it kind of irks me, but then I kind of get it, in a sense.
I mean, that was actually the first. Okay, I'm gonna take you back on a road trip. It was 2007. No, 2000. Yeah, 2007.
Right.
Little Brad Gilmore is a freshman in high school, and I'm learning life, you know, through hip hop. You know, I started rapping a little bit, and I got into it. And then the first show I went to was at the Contemporary Arts Museum, Houston. And one of the first performers I saw, because Avery had a band. DJ Ave from 2011 had a band called Dysfunction. He was the drummer for.
Right.
He was drumming in there. And, you know, I went to the event, and I ran to this guy named Fat Tony. And he had a friend with him named Smash Bro. And they were the Bummy Teenagers, and I saw them perform. And they literally walked up to this little, this kid may have been 7 or 8. And walked up to him and was like, "Little boy, you better buy my shit, buy my shit." And then they went into the song. And I was like, "Oh my God, these guys are fucking amazing." And I remember Tony threw up a drum. He had a drum for some reason, a little snare. Threw it up and he broke a window at the Contemporary Arts Museum. Mm. Tried not to pay for it. It was a really good show. And you know, I think Tony has been kind of on everybody's, you know, tongue, pause, for like a good 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, it really.
I mean, he won Best Underground Rapper 3 years in a row.
Although I don't think he may get it this year.
I mean, who giving it to? You giving it to Doe?
I'm giving it to Doe based off the strength of his not only his grind and his work ethic, but if you just check on okay, I can just say this. Check Doe Beezy on Twitter, January 2011, 600 followers. Check Doe Beezy right now. 3,000 plus. That's off the strength of his work ethic, the strength of his drive, the strength of his team, the head records, everybody there. And ever since Doe just kind of stepped in, he's kind of carved out this little lane. And everybody else has been playing like follow the blind mice. I honestly believe that Doe has it. I don't see how he can lose it.
Who's your favorite performer to see live locally?
My favorite local performer. I've seen the Nice Guys so many times.
I've never seen them live.
Oh, well I guess you'll see them
Thursday. I'll see them Thursday.
I've seen them so many times live. It's just, it's fun watching them. It's always fun watching Doe perform because Doe has this weird effect on people to where he'll make sure that when he'll pack out a venue. When he's on stage, that entire venue is wired. But when Doe's off stage, that entire venue slightly disappears. So this is maybe, if any of the artists out there are listening, if you have to go on after Doe Beezy, I urge you to have it flipped around. I urge you to let Doe headline because when Doe goes into your venue, Doe will take the entire crowd with him. I'm just selling this now. I'd be mad if I was a performer and I found out that I got to go on after Doe Beezy because Doe Beezy is going to make your set seem like what am I doing wrong?
You know, it's actually funny. Doe Beezy was on Speak 6. And 2011 came.
Did it happen to you?
No. We went on right before him.
Good.
We were the first act. We were like right before Doe Beezy. And then Doe came on, and Zelly Raps. I don't know if you know much about Zelly Raps from Austin.
Okay.
He's super dope. Super, super dope. I'm just getting informed by Iliad that there are no Houston Press Awards this year.
Whoa.
But we'll touch on that in a minute. But you know who went on after Doe? Was Michael 5,000 Watts.
Uh-oh.
And Michael Watts had about a crowd of 3 people after Doe Beezy left. So that kind of puts in perspective new and old Houston for you.
I told you.
And how much people actually like Doe Beezy.
I told you.
I mean, it's actually crazy to me.
I mean,
and he was my main draw. You gotta think. I dropped $3 to get Mike Watts on there.
I think you should have gave the $3 to Dope Easy, but that's for another day and another story. That's another story.
It's another day and another dream.
Ah,
I like that.
But I mean, it's so much. It's so much going on in terms of just live performers. But I would like to say that I hate the guys who will go back and forth. Like, you remember how, okay, I don't know if you remember this. Remember how Napoleon would just like get a thought in his head and he just pace around with his little hat on?
Yeah.
Just go back and forth and not really engage with the crowd or anything. I hate those performers. I hate them.
Who don't look at the crowd? Who don't
look at the crowd. They just go.
Yeah.
Swag, 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 swag. I got a hose. Look, your lyrics, great, fine, wonderful. But if you're not really engaging me, I could care less that you fucked bitches.
Yeah.
And I could swag you out and you probably would fuck my bitch if you saw her. But guess what? You're not going to fuck my bitch because I love my bitch. Anyway. But, yeah, those types of guys, it don't get to me. I know there's a lot of dope artists that like perform over their own tracks, and it kind of bugs me.
That bugs me more than anything.
It bugs me because I'm like, you're dope. Why the heck can you not just get your instrumental and just flow over it?
Yeah.
And there's some very dope cats that do this, and it just pisses me off. I'm like, why? I didn't come to see you do a lip sync version of a rap.
Exactly.
I came to see you perform. Now I know most of the time you may see me with my BlackBerry or my iPhone in my hand, just going through scrolling shit. But I notice these things, and I write about them. I write about what I see in the crowd and what I see on stage, and I kind of want to give an accurate representation of what goes on. So I will tell you a story about how at the DMX show I saw a kid in a CM Punk T-shirt right along a guy in a Two Dope Boys T-shirt. I'll tell you that I saw DMX's doppelganger trying to slow grind with a chick while DMX was on stage. I'll tell you the fact that DMX probably had an entire hour of comedy with just random mumblings and random sayings that made me think DMX needs his own reality show again. Like, no joke.
I heard, didn't you get something splashed on you with that show?
Yes, I got Hennessy splashed on me. Yes, DMX has a portion of his show called Sip It and Pass It. He'll take a full bottle of Hennessy. It's a full bottle. He'll hop in the crowd and he will proceed to pour a little small portion of Hennessy in the concertgoer's mouth. I know it sounds gay. I know it sounds weird when you see a shirtless jailhouse tatted up dude just pour drinks in your mouth. But this is what happens. This is what happens at a DMX show. So as DMX is pouring in somebody in the mouths of the concertgoers, he says something along the lines of, get your hand out of my fucking pocket. Now I'm thinking, like, did he just watch Malcolm X and it just happened? No, somebody had their hand in his pocket for some strange reason, and he accidentally flung the bottle, and I got at least about a good small sip of Hennessy splashed on me. And I had to think to myself, if I go see my mom tomorrow, she's going to ask me, why do you smell like Hennessy and weed? And I had to explain to her, mom, I was at a DMX show last night. She was like, oh, you didn't get crack residue on you, did you? I'm like, no, mother, he's clean.
He just got out of jail, mom. What do you think, speaking of rappers getting out, in and out of jail, what do you think about the T.I. thing?
I wrote this back for DJ Booth and Refine Hype when he first got busted. For the second time he got busted. And it kind of irked me. Because I'm like, you have all the success. You have all these different avenues that you can easily translate to. Look, I don't think most rappers can translate into doing a Chevy commercial with Dale Earnhardt Jr. And white people immediately say, oh, that's T.I.
Yeah.
Doing a commercial with Dale Earnhardt Jr. So you kind of, when you get arrested, you kind of throw that all away. Now, I heard Tip's back out. And he's in a halfway house, finally, and he doesn't have a tour bus to deal with or anything of that nature. And I heard he has a record with Big Crit, and I heard it's supposed to be fucking flames. I'm waiting to hear it. I don't want to leak it, but I heard it was great. But Tip is just, I don't know, I just want Tip to succeed. That's all I want. I want him to stay out of jail, and the same goes for Boosie. Boosie, I just figured this out today. Even though Boosie may pop pills and smoke weed and apparently get an iPhone in jail and have people send him dirty pictures, like his fans or whatever send him dirty pictures. He has some of the greatest penmanship I've ever seen from a guy from Louisiana. And this is no disrespect to anybody from Louisiana. But I'm just saying, Lil Boosie could write a fucking wedding invitation if he wanted to. Like how, a Boosie Boo wedding invitation?
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. I mean, it'd be, I guess you'd have to say it in a Lil Boosie voice. Like, yeah. Kingly, now see, my homegirls from Louisiana may be mad as hell at me for that one. But Gucci, I would want. Oh, look, God. I love Gucci. Ignorant Gucci is some of the greatest things I've ever done. Like playing SmackDown versus Raw, my best friend, his main theme is "Stick 'Em Up" by Gucci Mane and Gangsta Boo. And I want Gucci to succeed, but Gucci spends his winners in Fulton County jail. He spends his summers out of jail. He spends his springs in jail. So
he just changes with the season.
So every 4 months, you can expect at least 2 Gucci Mane mixtapes.
That will,
and before to buy another, 8 months of him being in jail.
I mean, that's kind of a lost cause. But, you know, we only have a couple of minutes left on the show. Talk about what you got in the works and where people can contact you and all that good stuff.
What do I have in the works? I'll be out in Atlanta next Wednesday through next Sunday for A3C, which is the largest hip-hop festival in the Southeast. I'll be there. You can always contact me at underscore Brando C on Twitter. You can contact me email-wise, danadream1@gmail.com. You could get at me through Facebook. You could talk to my quasi-publicist, T. Piper. You could talk to Brad Gilmore. He'll probably get in contact with me. It's just, there's so many different outlets because as a blogger, you are your brand.
Yeah.
And if the brand, I'm going to say, you may think you're a brand just because people see you, but if you don't put any work into it to see what people have going on behind you, then nobody's going to have faith. Nobody's going to really believe in it. So, I mean, Dana Dream started as a wish, just a weird little thought moment inside of my room in 2009, and now it's grown to a site that has viewership of almost 75,000 hits a month and steadily climbing towards the 1 million mark plateau. And that's all because people have believed in what I do and believe what the people who work, who write for us, what they do. We all believe in growth and positivity, and we can get ignorant and ratchet at times, but such is life. Life is ignorant and ratchet. So, all in all, I believe it's to just, I guess my final words would just be to believe in yourself, to believe in your brand, and to believe in the people around you. And that'd be pretty much it. As long as you have a belief, as long as you have, when you're down, you really feel like, I need to do this by any means necessary.
Definitely.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just believe. One day you'll be like, you'll be the shit at what you do. If you put in the work.
That was my bad.
See, you dropping Perrion.
Well,
we're popping bottles in here, and you dropped the Perrion.
Hey, Perrier, get it right. But, okay, I hate to cut you off. Thank you, Caldwell, for coming in for this interview.
No problem.
Hope you've had a fun experience.
I've had an awesome time.
This is the Brad Gilmore Show. Next week, we'll have Dirty Dog D in the studio talking about his new project. And at the beginning of the show, I talked to you and played Time Goes On because I'm in I just got to have a relationship or whatever. So I want to leave with some more kind of pimp shit, if you know what I'm saying. So this is actually Like Hell Yeah by Fat Tony, and this is how I'm going to end my show. Thank you, Local Life Houston, Brad Gilmore Show. Tune in next week. Thank you. Bye.
This is a Bass Heads exclusive. 4 sweet monkey.